Today, Pastor Ray Bentley points out what we can learn from a blind beggar's encounter with Jesus.
Bartimaeus was a Jew of the lowest caste. He believed that he was worthless. He throws his garment aside and then he came to see Jesus. If you're a beggar, all you have is the clothing on your back. He doesn't know where he threw it and he doesn't care. Why? Because Jesus of Nazareth, I'm gonna see in a few seconds. Now that's faith.
Spreading the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. What are we willing to give up for Jesus? Is there anything in our life that eclipses our devotion to Christ? Is anything more important? Jesus gave everything for us. What's something that holds us back from Him? Today, Pastor Ray points out what we can learn about coming to the Lord with clean hearts and full devotion.
Mark chapter 10, the title of the message is Learning Curve. We're going to kind of look at three little sections here. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. It says, "Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. It says, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." Jesus is here sharing with his disciples. He only has a few weeks left with them, and he's beginning to prepare them for when he will no longer physically be with them. He is now explaining to them, I believe this may be it's at least the third, it could possibly be the fourth time he has told his disciples, "And I'm going to die. This is the purpose and plan of the Father." They have heard it several times. They really have not grasped it. Now, this idea of the Messiah being a ransom is familiar to Judaism. In fact, Israel itself was a nation of slaves that had been ransomed. I mean, the most famous story in the Old Testament is the story of the Exodus, where they had been slaves for over 400 years. The very movement that is the greatest story in the Old Testament, the night that the death angel passed over and the blood of an innocent lamb was shed over the doorposts and they were spared. And now Jesus is going to do that. He is the Lamb of God who is going to have his life slain and his blood shed and to be pierced for all of humanity, not only for that generation, but all the way back and all the generations going back to Adam and Eve and all future generations, covering even you and I. So the Jewish people, they knew what it meant to be redeemed. And all of this prefigured the Messiah. The only condition for enjoying the blessings of salvation were to have faith in the blood over the door. Amen? You get the connection there? So I ask you tonight, do you have the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost of your heart? You do not want to go into eternity unless you've got the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost of your heart. Amen? Now, what's interesting in this passage, let's say this is possibly the fourth time Jesus has told them, "Look, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified." But what you'll notice in the Gospel of Mark here, this particular time, in these three verses, 32, 33, 34, Jesus points out the role of the Gentiles in his crucifixion. Now, there's always been this classic question, who killed Jesus? And unfortunately, through history, there have been those who've tried to answer it and answered it wrongly. And some who become anti-Semitic say, the Jews killed Jesus. And that is not true. Who killed Jesus? We all did. Do you realize that your sins alone, my sins alone in my life, were enough to crucify Jesus Christ? When, you know, when you personalize it that way, that he gave his life for us, that he loved us and gave himself for us. So Jesus is, he's also modeling something here, because he's loving the disciples and he's saying, hey guys, I'm your teacher. I am modeling for you what the kingdom of God is like. I want you to follow me. And then I want you to follow my example. What's amazing, these guys who are in a few weeks going to be afraid, and then they're going to run and they're going to scatter when the shepherd is smitten and Peter's going to deny the Lord, but then they're going to see him after the resurrection. These scaredy cats, these cowards, are going to see Jesus, and seeing Jesus changes everything. Because then these former cowards go out for the rest of their lives saying, I saw Jesus. I saw him crucified and I saw him risen from the dead. That's why 2,000 years after, this man who owned nothing but the clothing on his back and then died. You know, you've heard he had no army. He had nothing except his words, his powerful, beautiful words. Every time he opened his mouth, heaven came like a fire hose out of his mouth. Every time he touched someone, it was like heaven itself flowed through his fingertips. And then his guys, who all were cowards and ran away when he was smitten, he rose. He appeared to them. He called them back. Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Okay. Okay, Lord, watch this. And the rest of his life. And so 2,000 years later, there's 2.5 billion people who believe in Jesus Christ. And the table is set now. The stage is set. Just as he himself said, along with the prophets, guys, this is what it's going to look like right before I come back. Are you ready for him? Are you looking for him? Are you waiting for him? Are you being a witness, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you? Okay, look at me in verse 35, the next little section here. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? He's talking about crucifixion and death. They said unto him, we're able. Boy, they really wanted that seat. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. You guys are going to die. You are going to suffer. You are going to be beaten. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your, what? Servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The disciples are still seeking here position and prominence, even while Jesus is making his way to the cross. Jesus says to them, you will go through the fire, and you will drink the cup. And then it's kind of funny, after they share this, and Jesus says, hey, I don't have the authority to grant who's going to sit on the right or the left. But it's so typical in verse 41. And when the other 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. They're indignant, all this righteous indignation. How dare you, you know? But the truth of the matter is, they're just angry they didn't think of it first. They were guilty of that. In fact, you say, well, how do you know? Because their indignation is a sign of their own pride and arrogance. Jesus is giving them the example that you shouldn't want position or care about position. You should be the servant of all. And if you're already a servant and don't care about a position, what is there to be indignant about? The very fact that they got righteously indignant, how dare you, is a sign of arrogance or a sign of pride, self-righteousness. Who else was guilty of that? The Pharisees. And that's why we have to be careful as believers. So God's pattern is first to make us a servant before promoting us to be a ruler. And then even when he makes you a ruler, you are to have the heart of a servant. God prepares us by bringing us to a place where we serve others long enough and faithful enough that then he trusts us to give us a position of being a ruler. And when you then are in a position of authority as a ruler, you are to continue to have the heart of a servant. This is what was true for Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, Timothy, even our Lord himself. And then I put something here in your notes. I want you to notice and think about blessing and honoring those in authority over us is one of the most important and powerful lessons that we can learn. All of us are under authority to someone. And we by nature, because we are sinners, we chafe at authority. But ultimately, all the chain of command that God has is a tool that he is really teaching us. You are to be surrendered and to be submitted to the authority, whatever it is that is above you, as unto the Lord. Does that make sense? If you dishonor the authority that is over you, God takes it personally that you are dishonoring him. Because he's the one that put the authority over you. And usually what we do is we say, okay, look, I'll honor them if they're deserving of it, if they're worthy of it, if they earn it. But if they're not, then I'm out. I have an out. Where does that say that in the Bible? No, the Bible says that more, it has nothing to do either with them or their character or even whether or not they are saved. You could have a heathen, pagan boss. Now you can, you know, they can't make you do something to violate scripture, but in their position and where they are, that they have that place over you, to honor them, God is working on your heart. He is preparing you. He is teaching you to be a servant. And the classic story of this is David. David's love and loyalty to his best friend, Jonathan's father, Saul. Saul was also a Jew. He's one of the chosen people. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. He was anointed as king. He sang songs. He prophesied. But he was also prideful, jealous, arrogant, flawed, human, bitter. And he started, and then all of a sudden, little David comes along and he gets jealous of him and afraid, and he's really kind of moving away from the Lord. And before you know it, Saul is throwing spears at David's little head. David had, based on many people's understanding of, okay, I will honor those who are worthy of honor. Saul's not worthy of honor, so forget it. I'm not going to do it. But that's not the story that we find. We find that not only was David loyal to Saul, because there are many people who outwardly can do it and be a, you know, they're being a good witness, but inside they're chafing and going, but what a jerk. I can't stand this person. Now, you may have those feelings on a human level, and I'm sure David didn't like it when a spear was thrown at his head. But at the same time, David loved Saul. Can you love someone who has power over you and authority over you and who is mistreating you because their position? David did it as unto the Lord. The position was given by God, and until God removed it, he was going to be there and he was going to honor it. And God did something very special in David's heart. I believe that David's love for Saul and his loyalty to Saul are one of the major reasons why David is described as a man after God's own heart. A powerful story of being a man after God's own heart.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We really enjoy hearing from our listeners. It's a blessing to hear how these broadcasts often reach people at just the right time.
I'm at a place in my life where I need to be grounded. I need help and I need comfort. I've been looking to other people and things to fill all my needs. I never realized all I needed to do was look up and ask God to help. When I heard Pastor Ray, it felt like he was speaking directly to me, and every word he said was dealing with my life. After hearing the message, I asked God into my heart. I asked him to take control of my life and lead me. Thank you, Pastor Ray.
How have these studies impacted your life or your family? Drop Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com. Again, ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, if Jesus followed this pattern, then there is no other alternative for us than to follow the very same pattern. It is important to realize that I am serving man, and as I serve man, I am serving God. So the path to greatness is being a servant and being humble. Amen? All right, look with me in verses 46 through 52, and we'll close with this. It says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Two beggars hear that Jesus of Nazareth, the healer, is passing by. And when they hear that this man of miracles, they can't see, but they've heard the stories, they've listened very carefully, and now they've heard that one is here. He is passing by. They hear the people running, the crowd gathering to where Jesus is. They begin to cry out. Now, Mark focuses on one of the, there was two of them. One of them, whose name is Bartimaeus, his name means son. Listen to this, son of the unclean. How many think that that's not the coolest of names? Son of the unclean. Bartimaeus was a Jew of the lowest caste. He believed that he was worthless. And why would an important teacher want anything to do with me? But he didn't think about all of that. He just thought, Messiah? The Messiah will do miracles. And son of David, the Messiah would come through David. This is 1,000 years after David has come. The Jewish people had held on to a promise for 1,000 years. And he still believed the Messiah is coming. And I've heard now this man, Yeshua of Nazareth, has done miracles other blind people have seen. Why not me? Son of David! Son of David! And the other people are saying, be quiet, be quiet. We want to hear what he has. And so finally, Jesus stops. He goes, hey, get that. Tell that guy to come here. So the crowd's like, okay, hurry up. You know, you're the guy. And it says he takes, look at verse 50. Where is that in verse 50? And throwing aside his garment, he throws his garment aside, and then he came to see Jesus. The garments that were worn were the main, if you're a beggar, all you have is the clothing on your back. So it was the clothing of, to get him through the winter times, like a homeless person, basically. So when Jesus said, come to me, the man takes his only protection for the rough and harsh times and the cold, and he throws it. He's blind. He doesn't know where he threw it, and he doesn't care. Why? Because Jesus of Nazareth, I'm going to see in a few seconds. Now that's faith. I don't need my beggar's robes and clothing anymore. As soon as he heard Jesus and that Jesus was going to give him the time of day, he threw away his old identity. Can you hear that? He threw away his old life and his old daily expectations. He said, now with Jesus, all right, I'm ready to come. There was tremendous faith. It does not say he placed or put his cloak on the side. He threw it. And he must have had a lot of faith to know that even if he threw his cloak and walked a great distance away, he would gain his sight and come back. And may we say tonight, also, we must throw away everything when we come to follow Jesus. Don't hold on to anything. Well, what if he doesn't do it? What if it doesn't work? What if, all right, well, you'll keep holding on to it then. And you'll have it for the next long, cold winter. How many would rather just let it go, throw it, and let's go see Jesus? See what he wants to do. So he runs to Jesus. The people kind of are carrying him there, and he's got nothing now. And Jesus says, okay, son, what do you want me to do for you? I always think that's so funny. Because doesn't it seem rather obvious? Here's a blind guy. And all the people are watching and listening. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Give me a minute. Give me a minute. It seems kind of funny. So why does Jesus sometimes ask the obvious? Because he wants you and me to say it. What do you want? What is in your heart? You see, it's a, you know what? Instead of it just being magic is, poof, you know, poof, you can see and he runs away. But the difference between magic and miracle, miracles connect you into a relationship with the one who healed you. And you are never the same, and you are with the one who healed you, and you follow him. That's what it's all about. Do you know that I believe God is already starting to do some amazing things here on Wednesday nights and waiting on the Lord and prayers and healings and miracles. And I believe that God's going to keep doing that and he's going to do even more. I think God's glory is going to just keep going from glory to glory. And when that begins to happen, that will not be the most amazing or exciting thing. The most amazing and exciting thing is going to be the people who fall in love with and attach themselves to Jesus. And it's all about relationship. Right. And knowing that he looks at me, he sees me, he knows me, and he loves me. Oh, it's powerful. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. I want you to tell Jesus what you want. Because now when you ask, you make yourself vulnerable, you reveal, prayer is a form of conversation and it's relationship. And then give Jesus the chance to hear your prayers and to answer your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
So what do you want tonight? This is the question Jesus is asking us tonight. What do you want him to do for you? Think about that. What do you want for him to do for you tonight? What do you want for him to do for you at this time in your life? What do you, and can you think of it? Can you say it? Can you articulate it? Can you express it to God? Can you throw everything else from the world aside and say, I'm gonna be vulnerable and I'm gonna come and I'm gonna trust in Jesus Christ and that he loves me and that he can hear me and that he will hear my prayer and that he will answer it. Powerful. Our words are powerful. The word of God is eternal and powerful. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with great insight today from chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark here on Maranatha Radio. Now today's study is titled Learning Curve. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, when you click Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world.
Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.